Some women get burned by the fire and some women rise from it. Welcome to the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo, where goddesses come to rise and go from survivor mode to creation mode. Are you ready, goddess? Welcome everyone to another episode of the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo. I am your host, Laura Sanzo, and I'm so excited. I really feel like I manifested this episode because, you know, I just have really been wanting to have somebody on to really talk to human design. And then Annette and I connected on Instagram. I was like, oh, I manifested Annette. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so Annette Ackman, did I say that right? I just asked you.
Akima.
So I'm sitting down with Annette Ackman. Annette is a human design reader who helps her clients optimize their human design and transform limiting beliefs when starting their business through one-on-one sessions. So welcome. I'm so excited for you to be here.
Yay. You have no idea. I'm so lit up. Yeah.
I wish you guys could see Annette. Like, she is has the most like incredible, because this is like the first time we're actually communicating virtually, and you have like the most incredible energy. Annette is in the States. I'm in Canada, and it's almost like I could feel her energy like across the border. It's like so insane.
I mean, this is the signature signpost of being a generator, is having that magnetic, expansive aura that when they're lit up, which I am so fired up right now, just in what I'm doing in my day-to-day life and to be doing podcasts, I can seriously feel how far reaching my aura is. And I like, this is the service of being a generator, is to be lit up and be passionate. And that lifts up the people around them. And so it's almost a very selfish, you know, like purpose for a generator. So that I really love. So thanks for acknowledging that and seeing that.
No, I love that. So let's get started, because this is exactly why I wanted you to have you on. So for somebody that may be listening, they've heard about the human design, but they may not have had like a lot of exposure. They may have heard some of the types. What would be, you know, just like a very, not basic, but quick overview of what human design is and how people can utilize it in different areas of your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So human design is a combination of many different divination systems and modalities. It takes your astrological natal chart and overlaps it with the I Ching, which is ancient Chinese mysticism, and the Kabbalah Tree of Life, which is Judaic mysticism, the chakra system, and also metaphysics and genetics. And so it's a very complex but comprehensive, holistic blueprint to how you are meant to navigate the world, interact with other people, how to strategize, what your skills are. So it's really this blueprint for your energetic system. A lot of people come to human design from astrology. They know about astrology, but they're looking for ways to apply it in a more grounded way. And that's how I was introduced to human design. I knew so much about astrology, but it wasn't necessarily the backbone of my day-to-day decision-making and stuff. And so when I came to human design, I was like, oh my God, I can use this information and really apply it to my life and see how it affects me and see how it really carves out a path of least resistance. And ever since then, I've like completely fallen in love with human design, and I really want to help shed that light for other people and make this mysticism, the codes of the cosmos, make it more grounded and make it more applicable for people.
I was going to ask you this later, but since you brought up the chakra systems, I want to ask you now, can you break down the correlation between human design and the energy centers?
Yeah. So there's 9 different energy centers. And just like in the chakra system, I believe there's 7 main chakras. However, there's literally hundreds of more energetic points within the body that are not just in the 7 most commonly known chakras. And so just because there's 9, you know, there's a different number for the energy centers in human design, and they have a lot of the same function, you know, like the head center is very similar to the crown chakra. The root center can be very much so correlated to the root chakra. However, there are some differences. And so that's one of the biggest things that I like to get into with people, is that they assume that the solar plexus center in human design is just like the solar plexus chakra, which there are some key differences. And the sacral center is so different than just a sacral chakra in human design. Even though there are similarities, there are differences as well. So it definitely draws from the wisdom of the chakras, the chakra system, but there's also more complexities and more nuances to it.
I love that. I would never have known that. So I love that. So can you just take us through the different design types? So I'm not sure if I'm getting them all. Generator, projector, manifestor, and reflector.
Yeah. So in the most highest of terms of human design, there's 5 different types. And you touched on 4 of them: generator, manifestor, projector, and reflector. And then there's a hybrid type of generators and manifestors, and that's a manifesting generator. But through and through, a manifesting generator is still a generator. So that's why, you know, in the largest sense, there are 4 types. And each of these types, this is how your aura interacts with the world around you. So this is not something that you can change. This is something that's based, that's set in stone from the time of your birth. And this is how your aura impacts your environment and how other people will really like feel you before you even say anything. And so each type has a different feeling of their aura. So generators, they're very warm and inviting and expansive. Their aura is the only aura that literally expands with their joy, and people can pick up on that, and it like lifts up the world around them. But just as much as generators can be that battery source for the world, for passion and energy and life force, if they're not doing things that they're passionate about, it's just as much of a black hole, like vacuum. Like they can be just as much the light as they can be the dark. If they're stuck in obligations, if they don't have good energetic boundaries, if they're not doing the things that really light them up, then they also have that very like negative effect. I don't want to say negative because that, you know, is too dualistic, but it's more of like a sour taste in the mouth when you're around a generator. And then there's projectors. And so projectors have a very penetrating aura. And that means that they have this ability to focus in on another person. They work best one-on-one. And because they typically have a lot of openness in their chart, they're very sensitive to other people. And so they can see layers deeper into another person, maybe even beyond what that person is seeing in themselves. And they're really here to guide and advise people through that penetrating focus, because they can see the underlying patterns and they can guide them into a more efficient way of being in a higher level of consciousness. Then there's manifestors. And manifestors, the word that's typically used for their aura is repelling. Now, I would like to reframe that, because that feels negative, and nothing in human design is meant to be negative or make you feel limiting about yourself. It's all supposed to be empowering. So I would say manifestors, the aura is like impactful and it's powerful. It's felt like a wave, like a tidal wave. As soon as a manifestor walks into a room, all eyes kind of notice them and go on them before they even say a word. They have this aura around them that is meant to create big waves of change. They're initiators. They get ideas and they get, you know, passionate about something, and they can bring that idea into reality without needing any permission or any invitation from anything outside of them. And so they're very, very powerful beings. However, they don't have that sacral center that generators have to carry out the whole like exploration or that whole project on their own. They definitely need to work with a team of people, but they're here to initiate those things and like get the ball rolling. And then there's reflectors. I call them the sacred mirrors, because there's something that's so ethereal about them. They're shapeshifters, they're chameleons, they change on a 28-day cycle. They're constantly going through all the different types and expressing and feeling and really interacting as one of those types throughout the whole 28-day cycle. And they're really here to reflect back to us the health and, yeah, I would just say the health and the consciousness of whatever they're in close proximity to. So whether that be in a relationship or in a business or in a community, if they're sick, that's a very telltale sign that the community that they're in has some underlying like turbulence or some underlying murkiness to it. Or if they're, you know, getting really emotional, they're just reflecting back their partner's emotional waves. And so they're very, very sacred beings. I love reflectors, and I think that they're a vital part of like any working organism to be able to see how is that organism really doing, whether that's a business or a person, what have you. And then lastly, there's the manifesting generators, which we talked about is the hybrid of manifestors and generators. And so through and through, they are a generator. They have the same aura type as a generator. However, once they're in the right experience, meaning they're using their gut response to say yes to the things that they're passionate about, they kind of have this hyperspeed button that they get to turn on, and it really increases their manifestation powers and their capacity for manifesting. And they can really like just go 0 to 100 super quickly, and they're meant to hold many different things at once, whereas a typical generator is meant to really master and focus in on one thing at a time.
I love, love, love how excited and how passionate you are about it. It just like vibrates through your whole body. I love that. So this podcast is really about women who face adversities of any type and really risen into their purpose. So can you just give us like a glimpse into like where you were and what kind of like brought you onto this path of serving people in this way?
I really appreciate that question. That feels really good. So I used to be in the business world. I was in the corporate world. This is a very elongated story, but I got an economics degree and I kind of bounced around a lot with a lot of different hats in business. I was doing business consulting in the cannabis industry up in Northern California. Then that didn't last very long, and there was this pull in me to expand and do something else. And so I moved, and then I became a farmer.
Wow.
And I was farming cannabis, and then I moved again, and then I became an accountant. And then I've just done so many different things within business, but it never really felt like it was me. And this is where my story in human design really becomes super personal and interesting, is that within human design, in someone's chart, you can see exactly where they're sensitive and susceptible to conditioning, programming, and taking on the societal standards and pressures of how we're meant to be. And so you could very clearly see in my chart that I am so sensitive to doubt and getting programmed by other people's anxieties and other people's questions and concerns. And so I grew up in a family in Southern California, pretty conventional family, had a pretty conventional standard of what success means. And that typically looked like going to college, getting a technical degree in finance or accounting, like my mom told me when I was 14. She saw I was interested in art, and she told me, she said, "Just so you know, we're not paying for college unless you do finance or accounting." So immediately, because she was a financial analyst, she made a bunch of money, and she saw similar qualities in me, and she wanted me to kind of like fulfill her legacy or like step into her shoes. And so immediately that was like, I've had to do so much reprogramming around that specific memory. And it wasn't until very recently that like I was able to objectively hear that doubt in my mind, because I've been wanting to do this human design business for 2 or 3 years. I've known about it for 4 or 5 years by now, and I've been living it and studying it and applying it to my friends and seeing how impactful it is. And it's really the cornerstone of my life. However, I wasn't fully in my offering yet, and I wasn't doing this on a day-to-day basis where I'm passionate every single day, because I had that limiting belief that I needed to be successful in accounting and finance. And so I kept trying all those things, and none of it was sticking. None of it was working. I would last max 6 months at a job, like, and then I would feel all this judgment on myself. And it's just a very angsty, like beginning 20s, you know, exploration. And I just had so much judgment over myself that I wasn't committing and all this stuff. And when I finally started to do the deconditioning work in my human design chart, that's when I had the confidence and the magnetism and the capacity, the resource of energy to really launch my business and start doing offerings. And now I see clients every single day, and it's totally replaced my accounting salary, which is super amazing. Yeah. And I'm so, so, so grateful. And I'm so grateful that I've done this work and I've seen the transformation. So I'm a living example of this, of how human design can really impact and change someone's path for the better, for their highest and fulfillment and their best expression of their dharma.
I love that. I love that. And I have to say, like, clients must just get attracted to you just purely on your energy. And the human design is just like an added bonus.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am very excited and very passionate about it still. And so I bring that to all of my sessions. And it's that enthusiasm that I think really helps people see the validity in it. Because I'm not just, you can't fake this kind of momentum and this kind of energy, you know? It's just like,
You say to try to sleep alone whenever possible. If you have any open centers that your partner has to find, then your centers will be taking in energy from them and not be able to fully rejuvenate. Can you expand on that? Because I think that's so powerful.
Yeah. So how our aura works is all of our defined centers That is what creates a consistent and reliable output of energy from us. So that's what kind of creates the energetic grid of our aura. And so when you have undefined centers, those are like having windows in your aura. That's where you get to access the world around you and you get to relate to people and have empathy and really see and feel people. And then also the outside world has access to you without any kind of barriers around that. So when you're sleeping, it's so important that you take that time to recharge yourself, especially if you're a non-sacral being, which all projectors, manifestors, and reflectors are non-sacral beings. And so imagine if you're sleeping next to a generator and you're a manifestor and you're sleeping next to a generator and that generator still has that defined sacral center. So even when they're sleeping, they're still pumping out that energy. But as a manifestor, you having that open, it can create burnout even when you're sleeping to just be influenced that. And so that's how all the centers work. So even if you have an open spleen center and you're sleeping next to someone that has that defined, it just is this communication of energy that doesn't allow your body to fully rest, recuperate, and recharge so you can wake up fully yourself and not be still influenced by other people. So I really like that this specific topic really stuck out for you because you're a manifestor. And so this is going to be something that's really important for you as a non-sacral being. And I understand that sometimes it's not always feasible or doable for certain people, you know, what are they supposed to just always have an extra room or whatever? Yeah. But what this can also look like is going to sleep an hour or two before your partner or staying in bed, sleeping in an hour or two after. Me and my partner were both generators, so we both have that defined. However, we have different centers apart from that sacral center that are defined and undefined. And so I like to sleep in 3 hours after he gets up and goes to work. And that's when I get my best rest.
I love that. I was going to ask you about aura, so we'll just stay here for a second. What are some other ways that people can work on their aura and just have this energy that you have?
That's an interesting question. Well, first things first is the aura speaks for itself. And in terms of changing your aura, there is no changing your aura because we are all born with our specific aura type. You know, like how I talked about how those auras interact with each other. Just because you're drawn to a generator and the energy of a generator doesn't mean that you can necessarily tap into that and make it yours. You can tap into it, feel it, experience it, and like enjoy it. But the bottom line is that every single type has a specific aura for a reason, that they have a different purpose, you know? And so a manifestor, they have a different reason for being here. They're not here to kind of be this energetic bunny all the time, you know, and just be really happy and joyful. They're here to make changes, and they do that in a completely different way. Like, I'm not here to initiate things. I'm here to respond to things and feel myself light up and follow that feeling. However, a manifestor, they're here to see what needs to change in our society. And people are going to respect a manifestor differently than they respect a generator. They're going to feel the intensity and the clarity behind your voice. And they're going to feel drawn to support you and to be a part of your movement. And it's a completely different function than what a generator is here to do. Same with projectors and same with reflectors. You know, projectors are here to guide and advise people. They're not here to be the workforce, the energizer bunny. They're here to like hone in on people in like the aura of a projector. They're like seductive and they're alluring and they're mysterious. Whereas me, I'm like a friggin' open book. You know, I don't have that like alluring quality that like draws you in. I'm like, here's everything, you know, here's all of it. But a projector needs to have that alluring quality so that people will be drawn to them and invite them to share. That's a huge part of their process. So I appreciate that there's this like, you know, admiration for my energy and my aura, but this is one of the biggest conditioning aspects of human design is that just because you're drawn to it, yeah, we're meant to collaborate. We're meant to work together like we're doing right now, but we're not meant to be each other. We're really meant to embrace our own strengths and our own aura and really like give that the attention.
I love that because as soon as you said that to me, I think about like all the people that are kind of trying to be like other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like following their strategies and, you know, the way that they show up on social media and all that kind of thing. Whereas like they should not really to serve them better would be just to be what they're meant to do.
Exactly. And sometimes it's so hard to figure out like, what are we meant to do and how are we different? What makes us different? You know? And so that's why human design is called the science of differentiation because it expresses why some people excel in certain ways or are super bubbly and friendly and extroverted, while other people are different and they're introverted. But it really gives you permission to really embrace that and find the gifts within that and work with that energy as your path, instead of comparing yourself to other people and wanting to be someone else, someone that you're not.
So you say, it's not that you say, you are in incredible shape, and you attribute that to your strategy. So can you expand on that a little bit of how, it's funny, as we're talking, I'm getting more and more questions. I need to just like, put my foot on the brake, or else we're going to be here for hours. So I'm going to stick to the questions I had. But so how can you incorporate the human design and into diet and food and exercise? And I also love, as you said something, I thought about anxiety and depression. Is there any way people could utilize their human design type to help them?
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. Just by looking at someone's chart, within a moment, I can see where they get anxiety, where they compare themselves to other people, where they get stuck in the past, you know, AKA depression. And so, yeah, that's something that you can see right off the bat. And all something that you can objectively look at and love yourself with awareness and reprogram that. And so that's something that I love to do with my clients, really bring them through subconscious reprogramming to come back into love and into the present moment with themselves. And then speaking on in terms of the body, I have a very interesting story with my body, my health, my fitness. When I was like 22, I'm 26 now. So when I was 22, I was in a relationship that did not feel good, but I was stuck in it and I was very codependent and it was toxic. And I ended up gaining a lot of weight. I probably was 30 pounds heavier than I was today. I felt a lot of judgment around myself. I see pictures of me a couple years ago and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that that was me. And at the same time, I was also eating in a way, I was like trying to be very strict, raw vegan, doing juice cleanses, doing fasting, but I still wasn't letting go of any of this weight. And so I look back and I see that it was because I literally didn't have this energy that I have right now, this fire burning passion, like exuberance, that energy literally is burning calories for me all day long. However, 3 years ago, when I was in that relationship, I didn't feel this way at all. I was dull and I was lethargic. And even though I was forcing myself to work out and do fasting, my metabolism wasn't fired up like it is now. And that's just from adding passion to the mix, you know? And so that's a really good way for generators to be. They need to be lit up throughout their entire day as much as possible. And that actually like is the biggest prana source for them. Prana meaning it's the way that they get energy is through doing the things that they love, not even necessarily through food. So naturally as generators start to live more in alignment with their enthusiasm and their excitement, they feel less drawn to food more and more. And it's not in an unhealthy like eating disorder way, but I eat maybe like one or two meals a day. But I honestly don't feel hungry because I'm passionate, you know? And so I feel like there's a lot of like, you know, standardization around food and eating so much and eating calories and what you need to eat. And that's also, I just don't live by that anymore. I completely follow my body and I listen to my body. I'm very intuitive with that. And then also that being said with generators, they have so much energy. It's important for them to burn it throughout their day and be embodied and, you know, do cardio, do high intensity workouts because they have the resource to do that. And then moving on to like projectors, they don't have that sacral fire. So they don't have the same capacity for energy that a generator has. And so they definitely will be drawn to eat more. So if anything, projectors, reflectors, and slightly for manifestors, they're going to be more susceptible to overeating, binge eating, and looking to gain energy and gain access to that vitality through consuming food. Which to a point it can, but how they're really meant to eat is small, light meals throughout the day. And so they don't ever get weighed down and they don't feel too heavy because their digestion works slowly and in spurts throughout the day. They're not meant to, you know, feast, whereas a generator can just like feast a hardcore and they're going to burn it. Projector and a manifestor, not so much. They also, yeah, like I said, they don't have as much energy to be able to do as much exercise. So the best kind of exercise for projectors would be yoga, some Pilates, gentle stretching, things that still help them feel embodied and connected to their emotions, but not necessarily cardio every single day. You know, do that when you feel inspired to do that. Go on a run with a generator. You're going to have the best time of your life. You're going to have so much fun. And then with manifestors, they're very unique in that they have this capacity and this ability to kind of dictate and command how they want stuff to affect them. So you can kind of just choose, like, okay, I'm going to eat this today and I know I'm going to burn it off. And like, you get to kind of set your own rules to a point. Like, I would play with that if I were you, and like, definitely, you know, set intentions over your food, put your hands over your food and like pray for it, and like whatever it may be, have it be nourishing for you and move through you easefully and gracefully. And there's this power that manifestors have to the command in their voice.
I love that. When you were telling that story, I was getting goosebumps.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I can't tell you, I was trying so hard to lose that weight. I felt so insecure in my body. And it wasn't until I got out of that relationship. I'll tell you a, you know, kind of personal thing. I wasn't able to go to the bathroom to like my digestion. I wasn't able to go to the bathroom for like 5 days at a time. And this was for 3 years. I would go to the bathroom once every 5 days. So that just shows how stuck the energy was in me. As soon as I got out of that relationship, I made a big move in my life. I moved back down to San Diego. I started playing tons of volleyball. And then all that weight melted off of me in weeks after having it for years. I'm telling you, 2 weeks, it was gone.
If that doesn't show the power of the mind and body connection, I don't know what does.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit about the difference between a sacral authority, self-projected authority, splenic authority, ego authority, and lunar authority?
Yes. So that's a very large question, but...
that's very a large question.
Yeah, that'll take an hour, but pretty much the authority is how you make decisions. So it's this internal thing, this internal function from within you. So we'll start with sacral authority. A sacral authority is specifically for generators or manifesting generators. So when they're exposed to something in their external reality, if their gut response, which is the gut is also the sacral center. So if their sacral center lights up and they get this expansive tingly feeling, that's how they know what to follow, and they can follow that instantly. They don't have to wait. However, an emotional authority, that can be manifestors, projectors, or a generator, manifesting generator, if they have that response where they get excited about something or they're invited to something, say for a projector, they have to wait at least 24 hours for this emotional wave, because that's what the emotional center, the solar plexus center, is all about, is this defined emotional wave that those emotional beings, which you are an emotional being, they're constantly riding out these highs and lows. And so if they're presented with something to make a decision about and they're riding a high, they're literally looking through their life and looking into reality through these rose-colored glasses of like being on a high. So they could foolishly say yes to things that really aren't appropriate for them or really aren't the right thing. And same thing, if they're at a low, they can close themselves off to more things if they're making those decisions in the moment that they're presented. So it's really important for them to set aside a day at least to make a decision and come back into a neutral calmness before they say yes or no. And then a splenic authority is all about intuition. This is a really fascinating authority because it's this subtle intuition that is guiding you throughout your day. I have this really great story of a good friend of mine. She's an actress and she has a splenic authority. And she's been living in New York City for 7 years and she's really been looking for her big break as an actress. And a couple years ago, she was in a club and there weren't very many people there, but there was Owen Wilson. And she saw him, they noticed each other. Then throughout the night, they passed by each other in a hallway and they both turned around, made eye contact and like had this moment. And she felt really seen. She's a projector. She felt really seen and kind of like energetically invited by him. And in that moment, her intuition like whispered to her, like, this is your big break. You need to make this connection right now. However, she didn't listen to that and she walked away and she's still holding on to that as like, oh my God, that was my big break. And so that's a great example of how the splenic authority works, is it's this subtle whisper that tells you in the moment to help you get ahead in life, to keep you safe, to help you get resources and to, it's very much so based in like survival instincts. Ego authority is that you have to express yourself to be able to hear and listen to what the truth is that you come out. And that's very similar to the self-projected authority. So this looks like talking to a friend that you really trust that isn't going to put you in some sort of box. Or my favorite way to advise people is to get out their recorder on their phone and just talk out that whole decision and look for your own guidance. And like the answer will just kind of come to you. For the ego authority, it'll just, the more you talk about it, the more you express it, it'll just kind of fall into place. But you really need to use your own vocal cords to see and to kind of weigh out the decision. And then with the self-projected, you're looking for this slight change in the tone of your voice, the harmonics, the resonance, the clarity that comes through your voice. That's the indicator of if it's the right path or not. And then the lunar authority is waiting 28 days. That's specifically for reflectors. And that's waiting 28 days before you make a decision to know if it's going to be the right decision or not. And they're very like, reflectors, they need to taste things one little thing at a time. And they're here to like dabble into things.
I wanted to, you had talked a bit about in your social media that everyone needs to follow you. If they haven't even booked a session with you this far in, I can't even believe that. You had talked about using various numbers in your profile, your Instagram mm-hmm. profile bios. I thought this was really fascinating. Can you just, yeah. I know this is probably in detail too, but just like a quick overview of that.
Yeah. So the three biggest components of human design are the aura type, which we got into, the profile numbers, and the incarnation cross. And so how those all work together is your aura type is your role, the character that you came here on this earth to play. The profile is the personality with which you express that character. And then the incarnation cross is the overarching theme of your life. And it's going to be this golden nugget that kind of wants to express itself. It's your biggest gift and it's also your biggest lesson, what you're here to really like lean into in your life and learn and serve to other people. So the profile numbers, like I said, it's your personality. And you have a conscious number and then you have an unconscious number. And so say, for example, we'll take your chart. You are a 5-1. So your 5 is your conscious and that is the line of the heretic. And then there's the 1, which is the unconscious. And that's something that maybe you don't necessarily see in yourself so much yet. However, other people can kind of see it in you if they've known you for a long time. They can see this playing out. And so we'll go through yours for an example. Like I said, the 5 is the heretic. And so just for as an example, Jesus was a heretic. So obviously there was this huge mission for Jesus, you know, to like have, you know, and I'm not religious, I'm not Christian. I'm just using this as an example for people that people can understand. Jesus had a huge impact on the masses. And that is the potential for a 5 line. They have this new way of being, this new way of doing things that they're here to present and guide the world into. And it can be very controversial because it's so new and it's against the grain. And so just imagine Jesus, you know, he had this huge following that put him on a pedestal and he was literally the Lord and Savior. And then there was this other group of people that saw him as the root of all evil. You know, he was mixing up the boat and he was changing things and who invited him. And so that is something that the 5 line will experience throughout their whole life, is that when they meet people, maybe that person puts them on a pedestal and says, oh, you're the partner of my dreams and you're here to, you know, we're going to do all this together. You're the one I've been waiting for. Now I'll ask you, do you feel like that's happened to you in the past? Like people will just project on you very quickly within meeting you?
Yeah, I guess I can relate in the sense of almost like what's coming to me, what is resonating with me, it's almost like the black sheep of the family. Do you know what I mean? In the sense of like, I've never really done anything conventional, maybe in the first mm-hmm. part of my life. But so yeah, I could totally resonate with that for sure.
Even just you having a podcast that's all about empowering women in like this new wave of this new movement of empowered women is something that would be along the lines of the heretic, because here you are, you're like giving a voice to what was once the voiceless, you know, you're doing right. something against the grain. And even though in our like culture, the one that we're specifically in, it's kind of becoming more and more popular. However, to the masses still, this is something that is still against the grain, that we are still changing the story. So that is a great example of you kind of like leading the herd in the sense with your own community and really uplifting the voices of women that need to be heard. So yeah, that's the 5 line. And then we go over to your unconscious, and that's the 1. That is the line of the investigator. Mm. So the investigator is the kind of person that if you ask someone like how they're doing and they're like, good, how are you? like, that doesn't sit well with the investigator. They want to know, like, what's really up, you know? Like, they want to know, like, okay, well, there's this weird look on your face, or, you know, they want to go layers and layers deeper because they want to investigate everything that they're drawn to. And so whatever you feel curious about, it's super important for you to allow yourself to dive into that. So, you know, if that's spirituality, astrology, human design, women, the feminist movement, it's so important for you to saturate yourself in the knowledge and in the research of this curiosity, because that's going to directly play into your line of being the heretic and how you serve and how you empower other people and what you're here to change in the world. So yeah, that's pretty much an example of how the profile works. That being said, there's 6 different lines. The first 3, so 1 through 3, are very interpersonal, meaning they're very much so based on your own personal exploration and kind of like satisfying your own needs in a way. And then the last 3, so 4, 5, and 6, are very intrapersonal, meaning it's meant to be in service to other people, and it finds fulfillment through the sharing and connecting with other people.
I love that. I was laughing because when you said that, because it's so true. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to do the podcast, is because I love learning from people. And
right.
That's why I was laughing. It's just so aligned. So let's move into, what can people, when they book a session with you or get coaching with you, we were going to do like a live kind of reading, so people have an idea exactly what they're going to get.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, well, we touched on quite a bit so far, but we'll just do a quick little overview. So first things first, looking at your chart, you are a 5-1 manifester, and your strategy here is to inform people. And so what this means is, because how we talked about the aura of a manifester can feel repelling, it can feel really, very strong, intense, and impactful. Even just if you're sitting at a dinner table as a manifester and you get up to leave and go to the bathroom, that can kind of sit unwell with people, and people don't know where you're going because they're like, where is she going? She was like a huge force of the energy of this field. Or like, there's this essence of not really trusting a manifester because they can just get up and do things. And so, you know, the dinner table is a small example, but even just, you know, in a family dynamic or in a business, they don't really think to involve other people in on their process. It's not natural to them. And that's what can kind of create the stigma of a manifester being a lone wolf, like you said, black sheep, like kind of doing things against the grain and feeling like they're very disconnected from the people around them. However, you're such an important part of the community that the way that you can bridge that gap between you and the people that you're impacting is simply to inform them. So go out of your way to tell someone, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You don't ask for permission. That's not the trip here. You're here to just inform people, because then people will just know what's up and they'll know what to expect from you. And that creates a more settled, relaxed feeling and field of trust around you. And that way people will be able to trust you more, so that they'll be able to get behind your ideas and they'll know where you're going and they'll know that you're not just going to disappear, you know? And that's going to be really helpful for the manifestor, because when they feel isolated and they feel like they can't trust other people, typically they want to do everything themselves because they don't really trust other people to do them right or to do them as well as they would do it personally. But the thing is that you need to work with other people, because you're here to initiate things, but you don't have that sacral like battery force to be able to see it to completion. You need to work with a team of generators and have some projectors in there too to guide, but you're here to get the ball rolling. But it's so important for people to be able to trust you. So that's why the strategy is to inform. The not self theme of a manifestor, which is, you're always going to be kind of navigating between these two polarities of your own experience, your own emotional guidance system. And so the not self theme, which is what you can use as a road sign that you're off track, is when you're feeling anger. And then the self theme, which is when you're kind of on track with your strategy, you're doing the right things, you're living in alignment, you'll feel this sense of peace. And so when you're feeling anger, you're probably feeling resentment and you're feeling angry with someone else. And that comes from this break of trust in the connection and in the field. So that's why it's really important for you to use your strategy and follow the right things and inform people in the right way. And that will alleviate any of the anger. And then you'll notice that you'll just start living more in a place of peace and relaxation, and things are just like flowing easily. And like I said earlier, this is not natural for a manifestor, but it's something that you need to like ingrain in yourself, and you need to do a little bit of work to start creating that pattern of informing people. How does that land for you so far?
I love that. I got a question. I want to wrap up soon, but I have a question that I want to ask. So in terms of business and the human type, so somebody would come and then work with you and then learn how to incorporate their type into their business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that is what I'm super passionate about right now. And it's really cool because I can cross, you know, both of my realities of how I used to be in the business world and now I'm in the human design world. And I can really give people a very tailored and unique approach to how they should start their business, the kind of people that they need to be collaborating with, what their collaboration style even is. And you can see all this in the more in-depth aspects of their chart. And so we can really tailor a specific roadmap for you of how to get that business going and really launch it. But then I want to get into a little bit of your centers, because like I said, this is my favorite part about human design is the deconditioning. Because you'll notice that once you get a reading, typically what I hear from people is like, wow, I feel like I already kind of knew a lot of that stuff about me. However, they're not playing it out and they're not making the right decisions to really allow their gifts that they already kind of can see in them. They're not allowing their gifts to really lead them and move them forward in life. And that is all due to conditioning. And so you can look at your open centers to see your conditioning. So let's take a look. You have two open centers, which is really unique, I would say, because that's quite a lot of definition as a manifestor. So you have a lot of consistent, reliable energy within you. So those are huge resources for you to lean on. But I'm gonna more focus on the two open centers that you have. So the first open center is the root center. And this center is responsible for motivation, drive, pressure, stress. And it's all for the purpose of creating a timeline for you to get things done. And so having this open, what this can look like is procrastinating, getting like succumbing under like timely pressure, saying yes to a lot of things and then feeling so overwhelmed with anxiety and not being able to execute them in a timely manner, not being able to use time like on your side, I want to say. Does that resonate with you, or how, what's your relationship to like procrastinating or like keeping things on a more schedule?
No, I can say I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but exactly what you said. Like I want to do a lot. So it's not even that I'm procrastinating because in terms of habit, it's just more like there's only so much time in a day. And do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. And so one way to really navigate this energy is to go into an environment because having this open doesn't mean that you never get to experience having like a scheduled personality, I want to say, or having that ability to do that. It just means that you have to be smart with it. So you can go into environments like doing your work, for example, in a co-working space where other people are motivated and driven and staying on task, or going to coffee shops or going to gyms, but just bringing your laptop and sitting on a bench at the gym or something. You know, it's being in an environment where people are driven and motivated that really helps you absorb that and really use it to your advantage. And so that's a great way that human design can be applied. You know, nothing here, none of these open centers are death sentence, I want to say, to a weakness. Like you can use all this energy to your advantage and have fun with it, you know, and like go experiment with new places and see how it lands with you and see what kind of energy can be sparked from that. I also have an open root center, and I literally moved to New York City so that I could start my business, because in San Diego, I just didn't have the ambition, because it's a very surf town. I was in this little surf, you know, town in Oceanside. It's a very small town. And I just wasn't ambitious to like do anything to make it really happen. So I came to the Big Apple and I'm just like pumping it out and things are really rolling. And I just like being in the city is serving me so well. I'm not going to be here forever, but like it's helped me to initiate and really start that business. So then the last open center that you have is the open sacral center. And so this center is obviously a huge function of life force, excitement, passion, just generating energy for their work, for generators, and for the world around them. And so having this open, the conditioning that can come through here is not being able to say no, not being able to withdraw when you're feeling tired and feeling like you really need to keep up with the pace of the people around you or some standards that have been set, you know, that you need to work, 9 to 5. Like the whole 9 to 5 thing is a very generator type thing. Like none of the other types can successfully and efficiently and sustainably work that much every single day. Like a manifestor, they're here to start things and then take a huge break and kind of like let it play out. Like manifestors are here to like have passive income and like start a company and then let other people, you know, be the franchises and be the like network marketing type of thing, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah. So if you ever feel like you can't say no to things, or if you feel like you get addicted to stimulants because you need to have as much energy as perhaps me or the people around you. And so you're always drinking coffee or chocolate or sugar or even alcohol, like definitely an addiction to stimulants can be the conditioning of this. So do you ever feel like that? Like you are trying to keep up with the world, but really you're just tired.
I'm laughing because, okay, a couple of things. One, yes, I'm very much like that. And I've experienced a lot of fight or flight this year. So I give myself breaks intentionally because I was very masculine energy based for a long time until my body told me that you're not meant to be kind of exactly what you're saying, right?
And
I'm not meant to be operating in that manner. So this morning, in my morning routine, I made the intention of resting a lot today. Like I knew I was recording this with you, and I knew after that I was just gonna meditate after and that kind of thing, right? And then I actually pulled an oracle card right after that, and it had the same kind of message that you need to have your breaks and something along the same lines, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny that you online.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like it's funny that you're saying this now at like 2 o'clock our time. And I legitimately had this whole thought process just this morning.
Yeah. You know, I really love that. You know, it's definitely some synchronicities are lining up for you to really allow you to see the power, the force, and the purpose of being a manifestor, that you're not here to do. That's the biggest lesson of this whole reading, is that like you talked about anxiety, you know, this is where anxiety can come in when you feel like you have to keep up with the hamster wheel, how other people are doing things and how much they're getting done and whatever. And it's like, you're not here to get things done in quantity. You're here to get things done in quality. So the best way for a manifestor to work is to distill down their value in their offering of whatever their business is or whatever they're putting their energy into, and use less time to put in more impact and more value and charge more. Instead of, you know, like a generator, I can do readings. That's why my readings are so affordable, because I get so lit up that I want to do as many as I can every single day. So I make them very affordable and very accessible. And so that's just the difference in how like our energy types work. Yeah. And so those are pretty much those are your only two open centers. And so, I mean, typically when I'm giving a reading, I go through those centers very slowly and intentionally, because the whole point is to like get down into the subconscious beliefs and the programs that we're running. You know, like here we are, we're talking about it on the surface, but like deep down, you have this like deep-seated belief in this wound of needing to keep up with people. And you can only really change that by like getting down to the root of that memory and where that got plugged in. Maybe that was something from what your parents taught you, or a teacher, or something that you picked up in media. And it's really important to get down to that memory and like extract it, and so that you can objectively look at it and you can see where it came from, and you can personify that doubt or that belief, so that when it comes up, you can see that it's not you. You know, you can give it your mom's face, you can give it your mom's voice. So that way, when you're like in your natural day to day and like, oh, here it comes up that like, you can't take a break right now, you need to keep going, you have more work to do, you see that that's your mom, or you see whoever it was, you know, that planted it in. And that's how I've really been able to rework my subconscious programming and be able to stay focused on carving my own path. My parents think that like, when I first started doing this, my parents think that they thought that this was the craziest thing. It didn't make any sense to them, and that I was like just wasting my time. But now I like hear that voice in my head and I'm like, oh, that's my mom. And like, I just immediately turn my cheek and I stay focused on that sacral energy that I feel. And so that's how the reprogramming works. It really takes a lot of attention to detail of like, really giving it the objective personality so that you know it's not who you really are. And so you can easily and effortlessly just naturally come back to who you are.
I love that. That was so powerful. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but I just want to make sure we say it as well on air. So somebody, everybody's going to want to get a reading with you, like, obviously. So what would be the best way to contact you? Is it through your Instagram?
Yes. My Instagram, I'm very active on my Instagram. I get a lot of my readings through there. I also have a website. It's Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E. Akema.com. You can go check out my website and you can book through email there. But I would say definitely check out my Instagram. My Instagram handle is Human Design with two N's Astrology. And yeah, let's connect via there. And I'm super excited to walk hand in hand with people through this journey.
Is there anything that's resonating with you? Any downloads that you're getting to as your kind of final tip or just final?
Yeah. So what I would say, for anyone listening to this and feeling curious about their human design, or maybe they've already know about their human design, this whole proposal of human design is a proposal to experiment. You're not to take any of the information that I say or that you read on my site or that you see in your chart as dogma. The whole point of this is to integrate the wisdom, integrate the information that I'm giving you, and apply it to your life and see it come to life in your own way, through your own eyes, in your own terms. And that's where it actually creates meaning and has value. It means nothing if you walk away from this reading and you're just like, oh yeah, that was really cool. Like she really could read me and like I really resonated. No, it doesn't mean anything unless you go and you start applying your strategy and you start informing the people around you starting now. And that way you can see like the point of human design, because it's not just another divination system for you to collect in terms of information and then not do anything about it. It's all based on what you do and how you act from this moment forward.
I love that. So what's next for Annette? What can we expect from you in the rest of 2020 going into 2021?
So I recently just launched my next one-on-one mentorship, which is a four-week program to just get super deep into human design and really saturate the client in their personal unique design, go through their subconscious beliefs, and also make a very tailored approach to marketing and product and placement and websites and all this stuff. So it's going to be a very like novel experience for building and launching a brand, because it's going to be so unique to that person's intrinsic nature. So I just launched that program. So you can see that on my website. And other than that, I'm just continuing to do podcasts and really like share my energy and share my enthusiasm and let my passion ripple out to as many people as possible, because this shit is like really like an untappable resource that I'm really getting to realize with this generator battery power. I'm like, holy crap, I don't ever need to like drink or do anything, get any sort of substance again, because I have this all within me. And so just looking for ways to share this and allow this to really uplift and serve the people around me. Yeah.
I love that. If everyone had that energy, what a different world we would, even not even everyone, maybe even 85% of the world, what a different world we would live
in. If at least all the generators had this energy, so much more would fall into place and everyone would be able to, you know, experience it, and everyone would fall into place if the generators did this. Generators are 70% of the population. So
but they don't even know that they are generators.
No idea.
Wow, that's incredible. So everyone needs to know their human design type and really lean into all the gifts that they can afford them, really.
Yeah, and experiment with it. I know I've said it multiple times, but I'm gonna drill this one into the grave. You need to experiment with it, please. And if you have any questions about what that looks like in your life, feel free to just ask me a question on an Instagram. I'm totally available to, you know, send you a voice note, whatever it is. Like, I'm your friend. I'm here to, you know, help you.
Thank you so much, Annette. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your light and energy and all the incredible information. I'm so excited to share this with everyone. Everyone is just seeing so much from it.
Yes, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone. We will talk to you soon.